If you're doing some like reporting for the paper, okay, I'll spell my name so and it's TROUBLE.
Okay, I've got 1:35. We'll go ahead and reconvene this regular meeting of the Coryell Court Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. We're picking up with item number six from yesterday's the beginning of yesterday's meeting, which was considering adopting a budget for FY 2026. And on motion by Commissioner Matthews, we picked up with reviewing to possibly amend the proposed budget and to identify areas where there was potential for a reduction in tax rate as well as expenditures. Working through that, as well as some one or two missed revenue items, what has been handed out to the court for this afternoon incorporates the cuts that they had requested, and with what we are currently going to review, a tax rate would be reflected of 47.5 cents per $100 of evaluation. And that 47.5 cents would actually still be a tax rate increase of 2.676 cents per $100 of evaluation over last year's adopted tax rate. So with that, it appears that the court historically has wanted to go kind of line by line, section by section of the budget. And so I think as a starting point, that's where we would go. And I will try to capture for the court's clarification, as well as to be able to talk y'all through what we assembled. I'll talk through those items that we identified and made adjustments to. And Mr. Wood, at any time, if I miss something, if you'd please throw something at me. there were a couple of adjustments on the revenue items. We captured what we believe to be is a projected sale of a property that we have under contract that should close in the coming fiscal year. So that was added into property sales, as well as the $50,000 that was being transferred in from the pretrial diversion fund and $100,000 from the capital improvement fund. Those are the key revenue items on page one, which would have adjusted our revenues.
So 128. What is?
I'm sorry. I didn't understand your question.
The number. It's 128.
It's
item number. If you look on the far left hand side.
Oh, okay. One of them falls under sale of surplus property of 128. Okay, and 75,000 was added to that for Head Start. Under item number, going down to the very last one, the miscellaneous, under 0495, there was 100,000 from Fund 70 and 50,000 from Fund 74. Oh, you're welcome. And that was all of the revenues that we had built back in.
That's under other revenues, miscellaneous.
Yes.
495.
Yes.
Mine says 25,000. Is that correct?
20. I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Reimbursement.
So.
No,
oh, okay, under okay. Reimbursements.
Yeah, this was now under real. This is where we are already.
Okay.
That
gotcha.
Catch up.
Expenditures under the general fund removed the auto allowance for the county judge. Under the commissioners, reduced travel by $500. The county court at law reduced. Well, I missed a, sorry, missed one. Under the county clerk, reduced training and travel to 2,000. Under non-departmental, workers' comp was increased to 115,000. Liability and property insurance was increased to 375,000, and miscellaneous was reduced to 5,000. Under the county court at law, the county supplement was reduced by 7,000. Training and travel was reduced to 2,000. And miscellaneous was reduced to 500. There's no adjustments to the line items for juvenile court. Under the 52nd District Court, county supplement for the district judge was reduced by 7,000. Training and travel was reduced by 2,000. And miscellaneous items was reduced to 1,000. There were no adjustments to CPS court. For the 440th District Court, the county supplement was reduced by 7,000. And miscellaneous items was reduced to 1,000. For indigent defense and pretrial services, I need to get my line right. Travel was reduced to 2,000. And contingencies was reduced to 100,000. For the court bailiffs, fuel and oil was reduced to 1,200, and repair and maintenance was reduced to 4,000. Under the pro se clinic, the court coordinator was increased to 48,000 and office supplies was reduced to 500. Under the district clerk, training and travel was reduced to 2,000. And I'll give you some time to go through this, but it was the same entry for all of the JPs, reducing their travel to 2,000. Any questions through those? No, that's fine. I'm not trying to rush you. I just want to make sure. Yeah.
The increase on the court coordinator?
Yes.
The 48, what was that original number?
47.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the legitimate question. Yes. It was 47 to 48.
The original budget was 44,000, then the revised, I guess, budget was 47, and then it ended up 48. Yeah. 2025 original. Okay, got it.
Is everybody good through the JPs?
Yes.
All right. Okay. The county attorney reduced office supplies to 1,500. There's some small in mind. That is correct. Yeah, the reduction was to office supplies, not travel.
Right.
Under the county attorney, office supplies reduced to 1,500. Under the district attorney, the county supplement was reduced by 7,000. And fuel was reduced to 7,500. For the county auditor, office supplies were reduced to 2,000. There were no adjustments to the county treasurer. There were no adjustments to the tax assessor collector. Under courthouse and annexes maintenance, fuel and oil was reduced to 2,500. Utilities increased to 210,000. And miscellaneous was reduced to 500. Under the jail supplies were reduced to 20,000. Uniforms reduced to 8,500. The prison board was reduced to 2.1 million. And miscellaneous was reduced to 3,000. For constables, precincts 1, 2, 3, and 4, it was the same adjustment of reducing miscellaneous to 500. Under the county sheriff. Law enforcement supplies was reduced to 75,000. Travel was reduced to 2,000. Software maintenance was reduced to 137,000. Miscellaneous was reduced to 2,500.
Judge Miller.
Yes, sir.
That software maintenance.
Yes, sir.
Would that be doing away with the?
The E-Force. Yes, which is was not the exact number, but about 192,000 reduction on that. And so what we have remaining is some ESRI mapping license.
Did we determine history that if we use that E force that would lower costs in the future?
It would be projected to do that, yes.
I just think that's pertinent to take into consideration.
I concur. So we were at the 2,500 on miscellaneous, other equipment down to 5,000. And I think that's all we had on Sheriff's Department. There are several line items there. I want to make sure that did I capture all that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Excuse me. Indigent health, there was no adjustments there. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
What he's saying about the E-Force, it's good for the long run. It's going to cut costs down the road.
Yes.
But I also know that we're hiring two employees for two school districts that does not have police officers. Would it not be better to continue with the E-Force that's going to save taxpayers' dollars over the total ability?
The answer to that question is we should probably have a discussion about it. As of yesterday afternoon, the sheriff indicated a preference to have two new deputies as opposed to the E-Force.
But other school districts in our county can handle that problem themselves.
They're a separate tax and income.
There are grants available for that.
Yes, ma'am. I can't say that I'm well aware of the grants that are available. What I can tell you is that what the court discussed yesterday and what the sheriff indicated a preference for was that to eliminate the E-Force from the budget, but to continue with the two new deputies.
The clarification, I was here yesterday, and I also recall that the school district's involvement was simply providing an office for the coverage for these deputies to locally have an office there, not necessarily to serve the school district, but that area of our, is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's the way it's been explained to me.
Yeah.
Basically, the question is, we're going to use them as public safety deputies, so we're going to house them in the schools Monday through Friday, and that's what we're showing. Have a president of the police president there at the schools, and any type of school incidents that may occur while they're housing that. With that, They would also patrol that sector that the school is in and take any type of emergency calls for service and things of that nature.
He also said that they would be rotated in on role elsewhere, right, for weekends and
correct.
For coverage on other.
On the sorry.
On yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
And are you going to have an office in Brownsville and Gatesville?
No, sir. So Gatesville ICPD, they have their own police department there. So
which they pay for.
Which we pay for.
That's correct. I'm not that
they deserve to pay for their.
Sure. Absolutely.
I'm making the point.
I feel like that could be an officer that we already have one. That's my personal opinion. I get it. I understand there's a bigger picture, but I feel like the E-Force is saving us, but in the long run. And I know that that system is way outdated. We need to make decisions regarding that. And you can save a little bit of money by using somebody else in those areas that are needed that's already on patrol.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Mr. Dawson.
The also increase in vehicle population by two. If you're getting additional vehicles for these additional deputies, plus their benefits and salaries.
What we're planning on ordering as far as vehicles for this fiscal year is seven new vehicles. It would have to cover out of those seven new or his current fleet. Yes, under those two positions, they're going to have vehicle transportation.
Well, cost and estimate, the cost of the vehicle, maintenance and mileage and deputy salary and benefit for these two.
I have not calculated that cost. As you've grouped it, I have not calculated that cost. Okay. I believe that right now we have a commissioner that's working on interlocal agreements, intergovernmental agreements, where there are entities, taxing entities that are willing to contribute to those to the presence of our law enforcement.
Something to the tune of 60,000 projected, correct?
That's what I've been told. But I haven't seen any documentation. I'm not doubting it. It could be more. It could be less. I don't know what that number is, but I do believe that within the next couple of weeks, we'll be considering entering into those government agreements. Yes, sir.
Bottom line is that the sheriff's not requesting additional funds. He's just going to cut out something to pay for these two. That bottom line, as I understand him.
No, this is an increase in his. This is an increase in his cost for his. Payroll.
Then what happened to the money you put in for this?
That was part of the tax reduction. That's the tax savings, tax rate. And when we get through that, maybe I should have prefaced this. So you to kind of recap, the first proposed budget. Was based off a tax rate of 50.5 cents. After that budget had been proposed, then a proposed tax rate of 53 cents was voted on by the court. Working off of the proposed budget from yesterday, or the original proposed budget, and working through it from yesterday, the calculations that all the reductions that we're talking about today would have a proposed tax rate of 47.5 cents, which is still an increase of 2.676 cents per $100 of valuation. But it is down 3 cents from even the proposed budget, and it is 5.5 cents below the proposed tax rate.
I probably think our money where it's best, and make us money for sure. Or is it going to stay in a year instead of investing in money that's for them now that's costing us? Does that make sense?
Yes, I believe I've got a good grasp of what you're saying is ultimately, you know, to have two new people or one person, that's a perpetual cost. And historically, personnel costs continue to rise. If we're investing in technology, even though there may be a larger upfront cost, we should become more efficient, lower maintenance costs as far as contractual. And so you should see a decline in the cost of it over time. And I think, that, again, once we get through this and go back and decide which points the court wants to discuss, which areas that they want to look at, that certainly is a point of discussion. But did I capture what you were saying accurately? I want to make okay.
Judge Miller.
Scott, give me just 1 second.
The reason why we asked for those is because at nighttime we have three officers covering 1,100 square miles, three deputies. So you know, we have a south end, the north end, and then we have a closer, which is a people officer. You know, he's a mischief guy, so just our response time is so far away if something critical happens out in those areas. You know, especially if we get a hot call and all three got to go to this one location and they have 10 people that are in the domestic, we'll just spread so thin, unfortunately. So
I'm a Pearl girl, so I felt like I don't. Sure. I just also see other things in Gatesville.
Yes.
That makes it look like we could possibly push somebody for a shift that direction. I mean, 9 vehicles going down 107 for a car wreck is insane. And they drive by my car going 100 every time, and it's 9. And you could put one or two of them on the other side of the county. That's all.
Okay. All right. Ms. Densman had a comment. If you'll let me take Ms. Densman.
Yes, sir. It's kind of hard to hear what some of the people are saying, but through Zoom, but I just wanted to piggyback off of what part of what I did here. And I think a great point that was made as far as the e-force that does need to be considered if we're debating that versus the personnel is that the e-force is going to benefit the entire county. And if we're, you know, delegating and essentially using school hours for these two deputies in, you know, two specific towns, even though I'm aware that the sheriff has stated that, you know, they can be used elsewhere as well. The e-force, you know, in addition to the cost savings over time that someone has already mentioned, that's something that's going to benefit the entire county.
Okay. I'm getting some head nods. All right. Thank you, Ms. Densman.
Yes, sir.
How's it actually going to save money? You may answer that. I mean, we're going to make the same argument with roads. We're putting the road and bridge material. We're not reselling these roads on the cycle. We're going backwards doing that.
Putting something in place that would take a person.
No, I'm just asking, how is the software going to save money?
I believe the annual maintenance, what we were briefed was that the annual maintenance cost for that software is less than what we are currently paying on the two or three different programs that they're operating right now. But it does have the more expensive upfront implementation cost and integration costs.
Good point.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Who's providing security to the school district right now? Are they uncovered? Do they have the sheriff's office?
Guardian program. They have a guardian program.
So they do have like unarmed security up there?
They have armed security.
Oh, okay.
Guardian program.
Okay. And they're paying for that. Yeah.
Well, it's staff, it's employees.
Okay. Right. You know, I manage the budget myself. Lost a shiny little thing that I like that. But, you know, are we in a budget surplus right now? We're in a budget shortfall, right?
Yes, sir.
So I understand preference. I was at the sheriff's office. I was there. I was investigating. And I know the staff that were then, it was fine. Yeah, the response time was terrible. He couldn't cover a lot of land. But preferences and needs, they're different when you don't have money. You know? I don't think we should be looking at preferences. Maybe there's a hiring freeze until we resolve the shortfall.
Yes, sir. Thank Okay, before I kind of lost my place there. All right, so is there anything?
So are y'all going to consider that, or y'all just heard it?
Well, sir, we're going to try to go through all of this to make sure that we've identified everything that we went through yesterday. And at that point, we will pick up items for discussion as to do we want to address them? Are we going to address them? Or are we not going to address them? But this is just kind of a recap of everything that we captured from yesterday. And then we'll start taking those. Are there any areas that the court wishes to consider as to what options we have got available to us? Okay, so we did make it all the way through Sheriff's Department. We're good. Okay, and indigent health. There were no adjustments to indigent health. No adjustments to other health and welfare, and brings to county agents, and it was reducing the fuel maintenance and rental to $2,500. And reducing office equipment to 1,000. Adult probation's miscellaneous was reduced to 2,500.
Pages aren't lining up.
I'm having that same chat.
You think you're on the right page.
All right, so are you caught up at this point?
I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Juvenile probation, there were no adjustments. Other supported services, we reduced litigation to $50,000. Miscellaneous was reduced to $3,500. Let me make sure I got that right. Mm-hmm. Working back and forth. Yeah. I may have to get some readers.
Nice.
Yeah. Economic development was reduced to zero. And with those adjustments and corrections, that would leave the general fund with a reserve balance of 22.712. And we basically put our year-end in balance for FY26 at $5,633,000. Is that an 8 or a 9?
971. Yep.
Total expenditures at 4.3% increase over year over.
Yes. Okay. Picking up with Road and Bridge, Fund 20. And Mr. Latham, I may lean on you a little bit to kind of give some insight as we go through this on, you know, what you've come back and addressed with us. So as a whole, we'd gone back and forth about the sale of surplus property. We went ahead and left D7 Dozer in. But should some fundings come through, we can offset that so that he would have the option to keep that potentially. We had discussions concerning how to address the reimbursement funds for DR 4781. They came and Mr. Latham came and updated myself and Mr. Wood this morning. There are projects that are very close to being approved. And when I say approved, they're packaged. They're going through a review process, and then the final step sends them to CRC, which is the review at FEMA. And with categories A, categories B, and what we believe right now is maybe a 90 to 120 day return is 900,000. Now, there are other projects that are still eligible for reimbursement, but since they are not further along in the process, we chose not to count those as anticipated revenue.
It's already in CRC, basically sent to us. So, you know, say 3 to 6 months, if the worst case scenario, you're receiving about 900,000, you take that 25% off and we have to read it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, so, any questions about where we have the revenue projections? Okay, Mr. Latham, it'd probably be better if you just talked us through. Do you have that latest printout that you went through with Mr. Wood?
Going off memory here, guys. Was that about $560,000 reduction from the proposal?
Yes, sir.
And some less projects, materials, road maintenance money. We took out a little bit of equipment money, which was not to be financed. Contract services, we forgot 50,000 men. Basically, concrete, run covers, stuff like that. I mean, most of it was just kind of cleaning out some of it. If we straight lined over on the tires, we increased it, we increased some of our elves off of it.
And with those projected revenues and expenditures, he would carry a fund balance into FY27 of $254,506, which covers his early operating costs into FY27. So, yeah. So while we have Mr. Latham here, any questions you got for him?
I met with him earlier, so I don't have any questions.
I met with him also. Good.
Okay.
All
right. Moving on to Fund 30, Wall Library Fund. There was no adjustments there. Fund 31, became a discussion point on the records management salaries other. I'd left it, I know that we had discussions about reducing that. I'd left it at 56,000. I'm not gonna fight over it. I don't think that that's unreasonable because that really doesn't have an impact on our tax rate. Those are funds that are generated from the county clerk's office.
Well, you better go back up on litigation, Jim. And then crank you back up to 100,000, make it all 50,000.
Well, I want your feedback. I mean, I'm asking for it.
I gave it. I don't think it's right. I mean, if the position was split, the original the compliance portion was split. I understand that the county clerk's office and the district clerk's office do different functions, but both of the compliance collections, etc., went back to their appropriate locations. I understand that the county court of law, there's a lot more process than district court. But I do understand the functions of both. But you're going to create a nightmare like before when we changed from a clerk to an executive to a county this and change titles because this one does more than another and it just creates problems. So.
All right. So y'all
understand the work level.
I really wanted it zero, but I thought we struck an agreement yesterday of 16,000 in there, which still I think is the same issue and problem. But
yeah, I thought we had this zero with 16.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Why would you not just split it amongst all of your clerks across the entire court? I mean, to me, that makes more sense than giving a bonus to one office.
There's record management. It's all under records management. And there are rules. There are rules and stipulations on where you can spin and out and interrupt. But there are. I've read the rules, but it's been a while back. But there's means and methods of spending that money. There's other counties that spend that money, fee-based money, to lower their tax rate. I mean, Bell County, you can look at theirs. Huge amount of fees. Huge amount of fees.
I mean, that is a lot of money y'all are talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, it's a very powerful. If you're going to give a bonus, I don't think you should give it to all of them. I don't think you should give it to one. Even if you have to put it back in the general fund, and then give them a bonus to line with that funds. I just think that giving it to one office is unfair for the entire courthouse.
The very simplest I can put it is the commissioner's court does not have control over those funds. Those funds rely, the ones that are generated, those fee funds, they are generated by those individual offices. As an example, there is also a district clerk's records management, but her fees aren't near what they are for the county clerk. Believe it or not, that the county court actually generates some fee funds. Of course, that's even a smaller amount. So, in essence, what we really do is we approve a proposal or not a proposal. And so the you know, as far as being able to utilize those fees. And so the counter to the 56, which I'm probably at fault for, you know, stirring that pot because I miscommunicated and I put it into the budget incorrectly the first time. So I wanted to make sure that if there was a consensus of the court to put it back at 16, I was comfortable with that. But the last request that I had received that I misunderstood brought that total to 56. Does that? But it does not, no matter what we do with that, because there's still going to be a huge balance in the records management funds, because we're not going to be close to spending it all. And it generates in excess of $100,000 a year just from the county clerk's office alone. So I lost train of thought. The Corps does.
The lower the pay that they generate.
Well, those are fees that are paid by individuals that are filing cases, or, you know, it is.
Generate more money than they need. Lower the pay.
Well, there's things that we're picking up that are paid for out of that. And as an example, I don't want to throw her under the bus, but you can bail me out anytime you want to.
Office supplies, professional fees, internet service, some of those costs can be paid out of there.
Software maintenance is a big one.
Matthew's point is that we have, the court has argued for many years ago, are there other places that we could use those, that fee-based money that you guys pay to drive down other cost of everyday stuff, not employees, but, you know, well, it could be employee, full-time employee, but more of the type of stuff that's utilized. It has to be associated, though, with records management. And that could be, there's certainly some creative ways, and I think other counties have found creative ways. I haven't looked at it. Commissioner Matthews has said that apparently Bell County, who we know has to collect gigantic amount of fees, you know, they end up with a fund balance very, very low. And so they're putting it somewhere in their budget, and I would suspect it's to benefit, you know, their commission. But I just think there needs to continue to be, you know, a conversation about how we can use that money to benefit all the citizens.
But in the meantime, Your Honor, I'm going to give the girls a bonus out of that $15,000. Is that correct?
I don't agree with it.
Because it's $2,000 of an employee.
I would love for everybody to get a bonus and fix within the budget.
He's on that. And I'm just saying that's a lot of money that the other clerks in the whole aren't getting anything. And I'm not saying they don't deserve the money. I'm all about taking care of employees. I said it yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
But you got to take care of all of them. So I think there could be a more creative way to spending that money.
Mr. Matthews, for clarification, you were presuming basically that it is possible moving things around, that could be used to decrease the tax rate.
There's other counties that I have spoken with yesterday,
and that's not being done currently.
Their ending balance is much smaller. Now, that is not my department.
Right, definitely. I get you.
And I'm not the lawyer, and I'm not the auditor, but when I am told and they show me their budget and it's a lower amount, yes, sir. I mean, that the carryover is. They're using it for something. Right. That's all I'm saying.
And welcome to the wonderful world of,
let's use
the old government, what we
because do. It is fee based. It doesn't come out of your tax office.
Right.
If somebody buys a birth certificate or whatever, Lendocks, it's a fee. So,
and every elected official, I'll make this very, very clear, we're responsible for the budget. But ultimately, we cannot tell another elected official how to run their office, but we do set the budget. What they do once we give them the money within reason, that's there. That's like, we'll go back to the sheriff. If we give them two deputies, what the sheriff decides to do with those two deputies, really the question should be, do we need two additional deputies, period? Whatever the coverage is, whatever he decides to do with those, it is up to that specific elected official. So it's very correct. She has the ability to do this. You know, we've just questioned, is it the right, you know, is it the right ability? And I argued that yesterday. So
I wouldn't say that anytime an elected official comes to y'all and asks for money, it's your responsibility to ask them to justify that.
Yes, and we did that yesterday.
You're going to use it.
Yeah.
Next question about this is, had that even paid out in the past to those positions, not people, but positions?
Not as like bonuses. There are positions that have been funded and are currently funded with those funds.
But that's not really, I mean, that was kind of a big, I know there was a lot of talk about that specific situation. I'm not saying that they don't do a great job in that office. They do a wonderful job. Everybody that's ever dealt with them knows that. But I just think that that is a large amount of money that you're doing for a bonus for a fee.
Well, and I would, to be very clear, there's, to my knowledge, there are no bonuses that have ever been paid out of that.
So just to clarify, is it 56,000 or 54? 17.
I believe that, well, what I had under the proposed was 56. I believe what the court, the guidance that I recall from yesterday was 16. And if that's what the court still wants to do, then again, that's, I'm not going to split hairs over that. I'll put it at 16.
I would still like to see it at zero, but I made it, you know, the budgeting process, whether we like it or not, it's all about some, you know, making some concessions to get a budget passed. So every once in a while, you have to, you know, swallow a little bit of a bad pill in order to, you know, that I would still like to see that at zero because, you know, I think my original argument was if we got $56,000 in there, why don't we just use that to supplement an entire another salary within that department, and then that affects the tax revenue.
And I would encourage y'all over the next year though, to do your research and figure out how y'all can handle those funds.
Yeah, I don't see any room for a bonus in a deficit situation. I don't see anybody getting extra money when Roads and Bridges has to not pave roads, and then 2 years down the road, we've got degraded roads. So we saved a dollar now. Use that $16,000 to pay that exorbitant internet fee for that copier maintenance fee. Use the money somewhere else. I don't see a bonus in a nonprofit entity like the county government that's in a deficit. I don't agree with that at all.
I agree.
Okay, I will, just that based off of our conversations and previous conversations.
Are you going to consider a zero on that 16,000 or leave it there?
I'm going to leave it at the 16,000. I mean, it is carried as salaries other, but she also has the ability to contract services if need be from that. I mean, it is.
There's no extra money, bro. Hmm. You may have to act like you don't have money. There's no funds to pay. You just got to spend what you got. Spend it wisely.
And I'm trying to find the right way to describe this.
Got a couple of commissioners that already say that should be a zero item. You seem to be mistaken.
Well, it's. I mean, we're going to have it whether we spend it or not. But what I'm saying though is that money is going to exist there whether we have it or not.
You're paying your exorbitant internet fee, or $40,000 for the internet, or $25,000 for the copy. So you got to be kidding me.
We don't have that at our disposal.
The money's movable within that agency. I know it is in that office. The fees are fantastic. Help the tax burden lower, but those monies are movable within that agency. They can get a little bit less in their budget money, $16,000 less, and that can be a zero item fee. They can do what they want with their discretionary money if they don't spend it all on the internet or copier maintenance or miscellaneous. We're broke.
I'm not going to argue that I know all the valid expenditures. What I can tell you is Section 135.154 of the Local Government Code covers clerks and records management and preservations accounts. I will be certainly happy to go back and refresh my memory on what things are allocated and are allowable and what are not allowable.
You just reduced the budget by 16,000 for that office. Let them figure it out. I'm all for taking care of employees, but we're broke.
Yes, sir. I there's no way that I can, I'm going to be able to explain it to you.
You did explain that.
Well, from my standpoint of, I don't think, this court, once it establishes that amount, we really approve whether she's going to collect the fees or not.
No, she's going to collect the fees. You're going to determine how much additional money she gets on top of those fees. You already got at least two commissioners that think that should be a zero line item.
No, there's three.
Because then there's three. That sounds like more than half.
Julie.
Well, did Mr. Bell get today that said we're not at risk of those fees not being there unless the housing market completely crashes and no fees are collected, nobody gets married, nobody dies, nobody gets born in the county?
Correct.
So you got three for a zero, and you're trying to push on to another item. That's $16,000 you can take out of your budget. I wish I had $16,000 to put in play.
I don't know that we can use it in the budget because there's like he said, there's rules and regulations.
But if they pay the copier fee or something within your office, then that reduces the amount of money you have to give them.
Well, it's going to be $217,000. It is $40,000, pay my second land position, and let's move on.
You want to set that at $40,000?
Do it as a transfer out, so it would be $80,000.
Okay.
That would cover
too. Y'all understand that?
Correct.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
You're welcome.
We love you, Jennifer. You know,
I know.
Fantastic job. Not hating on you for money. We're just kind of broke.
And I did it. I did it.
It's unfortunate that you have to fall on the sword because of prior issue.
I just say we can and move on to the next item.
Yeah, and maybe at the end of this, somebody who's been involved in the budget longer too, when we use terms that were broke, we're not. We have a good solid. Uh-huh. We have a good solid budget. And this deficit is to me, it's still kind of strange. I handed out that spreadsheet yesterday. I don't know if you got it. I can make you a copy.
I did not. I don't understand.
Yeah. I'll show it to you. And it's weird because our expenses will show an X. And I didn't mean to get into this. And I want somebody.
I'm giving you latitude. Yeah.
I'm saying you have something better to offer. Please do. The way I understand it was on the budget, we will show an excess or deficit. That's because our planned expenditures are higher than our revenue. But sometimes, like, litigation, how do you budget for litigation, right? You have to put a figure down. It was 100,000. We haven't been in any litigation in the last few years, right? So, yeah. So your expenditures are going to look like they're the deficit, but the one you need to focus on is the ending balance. What is carried over, after the end of the year? And then that is also fuzzy in that is called our reserve. And our reserve is really, and trust me, I had to learn this even when I sat out there. Our reserve is there to carry us from October 1 until January when we start collecting your money again. Because from January to February is when all of a sudden, then our coffers are, we can't live on fees, we can't live on drug busts. We have to live on taxpayer money. And so that, I do get, we're not in dire straits.
We must not ask for any more money.
Well, but there are operating costs that they go up.
You're going to cut your throat. And let's not ask for any more money.
An increase of, unfortunately, we're not.
No raise at all. If you've got a $6 million reserve to dip into, you're good.
No,
why are we talking about raising our taxes?
But it's not a rainy day fund. It's not a savings. Those reserves.
Right, but you're not rolling into the next year in a deficit.
Those reserve. No, those reserve money is to pay the bills from October.
Right, I understand. Okay. Right?
I mean, we have fixed bills.
We're comfortable. We don't need to raise that.
I I can understand because I'm still very confused. Not confused.
I'm not confused.
It's hard to.
I don't have a budget in front of me like you do, but we can go through it too.
It's hard to kind of explain that whole thing. And then I'll give you a copy of this, and this will be.
I just saw the reserve. I understand.
Okay. Just trying to help.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome.
We just keep hearing that. I don't think it's hard to understand. You know, as our county attorney trying to make a joke yesterday, fund accounting, which this is, it's very different than your general ledger accounting, where you have a ledger.
Well, I don't know how much money I'm going to make every month. We just have to hope that they come back in the door.
And then,
there's no guarantee what's coming through the door. There is what we hope is coming. But you're in a better position than I, because you know it.
Okay, any more discussions on Fund 31?
I have none.
Okay. Fund 32, Courthouse Security Fund. We had no adjustments to it based off of my notes. Trying to balance, can we get back on track here? I think we're at nothing under Fund 32. There were any adjustments yet. That is the Courthouse Security Fund. Fund 33, the Court Reporter Service Fund, there was no adjustments to that. Fund 34, Leo's Training Fund, there was no adjustments to that. Fund 35, the Technology Fund, there were no adjustments to that. Fund 37, the Child Abuse Prevention Fund, no adjustments to that. Fund 60, the Interest and Sinking Fund, there were no adjustments made to that. Fund 70, Capital Improvement Fund. Based on what we had discussed yesterday, took out the new construction maintenance building project, left the other designated projects in there, and then based off the fund balance, made a $100,000 fund transfer to the general fund. Any questions there? Okay. Fund 71, the Grant Support Fund. We had made no adjustments there. Fund 72, the County Fire Department Fund, based off of the calculator, or the tax rate that this was calculated off of, that total number will be reduced slightly from the previous proposed budget. Again, Fund 73, the Water System Support Fund is just a zeroed out balance. Fund 74, the Pretrial Diversion Fund, based off of Mr. Belt's guidance, there's a transfer out to the general fund of $50,000. Fund 76, a Hot Check Collection Fund. Well, there's no adjustments to that. $177 vehicle inventory tax interest fund. There were no adjustments to that. $178 seized forfeiture fund. There were no adjustments made to that. I got lost.
Heart of Texas.
103. Yeah. 103. Fund 103. Heart of Texas Task Auto Task Force. There were no adjustments to that. Then the SB 22, Fund 106. There were no adjustments to that. And brings us to an updated total fund balance reserve of 19.212%. And then that would be based off of a tax rate breakdown, total tax rate of 47.5 cents per $100 valuation, broken down as to 0.041980 for interest and sinking, 0.34812 for the general fund, 0.0699 for road and bridge, and 0.015 for volunteer fire departments.
A question.
Yes, sir.
The fund balance that's presented here is equally revenue without taking in any of the reserve. Can you address that or somebody else?
Our expenditures will exceed our projected revenues. Because right now, we will take a portion of our projected fund balance or reserve and apply that to offset that. However, within the budget, there are items that we have to budget that we're not going to completely expense. Juvenile probation fund or that department, we base that projection off of matching funds from the state. If we don't budget those items, then we're not going to get those monies from the state.
Let's talk about just general fund.
That is in the general fund. That is
pretty much at the end of the year. It's a lot more than that in the fund
balance. Yes.
We're taking about $2.5 million out of that fund balance to balance the budget.
Yes.
I think people should understand this.
Yes.
As far as revenue, one of the questions actually went back and talked to my husband about some of this. Are we accounting for the new homes that are currently being built in the county? Because I know in Cove there's probably over 200 that are currently being built, which you're going to create revenue on within the next 6 months or so.
The simple answer to it is no, we do not take that into account. We do not get to consider those part of our tax base until they're recognized by the appraisal district. And when the appraisal district puts those on our tax rolls, that is when we can levy a tax against them.
Okay, so that revenue number is potentially going to change.
It should grow just about every year. Ms. Brown, did I? Okay. Thank you.
Well, basically, we're about $2.5 million balance of the budget. It's going to get planned the next year. We're not going to have any reserve left. But I'm not going to deal with the surplus or reserve back up to 25%. Did you say 19% right now?
Well, that's the total. That's the total fund. That is the total budget is the 19%. That deals with all those special funds, like what dare I say, the records management fund. I'm saying it includes that. So when you look at the M&O from the general fund 110, it's at a 22.
What's it going to be next year? We should take out another $2.5 million next year.
So our fund balance at the end of FY26 should reflect a fund balance that would be 22.7% of the overall budget, which in dollars, that would be $5,633,971.12. If
okay, look at a year down the road, what's going to happen? Division of works next year?
No, that's what I'm saying is, even though we, you know, that particular number carries over, then we also have programmed expenditures that we know are not going to be expensed. And then the question becomes, well, if you know you're not going to spend it, why are you programming it? And it's because we have statutory requirements to budget those items.
Mr. Brown, were you asking, like, you had heard that 25% is kind of the magic, you know, not the magic number, but it's a recommended number by auditors that have
another. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the auditors, and I think the county judges, you know, I mean, that's what they recommend. That's a recommendation from, which is a group called TAC, Texas Association of Counties. Last year, I'm looking, our reserve was 19.723. This was one of the goals that this court has had to have. This year, what is it, 22? So, yes, you know, we're kind of getting that reserve up, because if you don't, you're just going to continually, you know, think. But that's a good move. I was happy to see it, that it's, you know, in that 22%. That's fiscally responsible. And, so, I mean, that's...
I think Mr. Brown's point ties into mine in that you guys aren't going to be commissioner forever, and that's not a threat. That's just the fact. You're not going to be commissioner forever. And there's a lot of people that want to make sure that the future is set up to continue to serve the community properly. And we don't need to be looking at band-aids to get things done now. I mean, we do. We need to get things done now, but we also need to make sure that in the future everything is going to continue. Even if you're not commissioner anymore, even if you're not the judge anymore, you need to set up the next generation of people that are coming in for success. Because if they come in to a mess, that's unfair to them. You may have come into a mess. I don't know. I haven't looked that far back into it, but if you did come into a mess, you need to do your best to make sure that whoever follows after you doesn't come into the same problem that you did.
Okay, and thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't cut you off, did I?
No, you're good.
All right, so that we can be, you know, again, talking apples to apples, oranges to oranges. The 2.4 million number is out off of the total budget, and it includes all those individual funds that we talked about. And we're talking about M&O and Fund 10, the general fund. Okay, the excess deficit, so it's the deficit of it, is $319,960.88. And there are more programmed expenditures in the budget than the $319,960.88 that we're not going to expense. I mean, I don't know how to say, I mean, at the end of next year, when we do our close out of this budget, there's going to be an excess number there. And that's the only way I know how to tell you that is, I mean, so we try to be, you know, very judicious in walking that fine line. But is it a historically, you know, accounting, do my debits and my credits add up? No, they do not. Because if we did that, we would be overtaxing you.
I'm afraid there'll be another 5 or 6 increase next week. Help us all.
Judge Miller.
Yes, Ms. Densman has a comment. Yes.
Two quick questions. The first one, could you advise if every department that submits their budgets to you comes in at or below last year's budget with where the budget currently sits?
Not every department did. We had several that did, but not every department.
Okay. Because I just know that in speaking with quite a few people, that's something that, you know, if they were encouraged to do that, that probably would set a lot better with the constituents if that was an expectation of them and being, you know, physically responsible with our taxpayers' money. Thank you. Second question, with the district court building coming in several million over budget and potentially having some ongoing issues that need to be addressed, are we having to account for any of that in the current proposed budget?
Our budgeted maintenance, repairs and maintenance of courthouse annexes, that line item did not increase. That building is covered under that line item.
Okay.
By the same token, the building that we were renting last year from the city of Gatesville, routine maintenance was part of our responsibility. I mean, HVAC and those kind of things, I believe, were the responsibility of the city. We covered that.
We covered.
So
the department shut the building. We took care of the money.
So we should have just in what we've spent in the last year and a half on building maintenance. Building to building, we should have lower maintenance and repair costs on the new annex.
Okay, and so the overages that were budgeted for that building, that was accounted for in fiscal year 2025, or that's just rolling over into fiscal year 2026?
Fiscal years 24 and 25 is when we absorb those.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Desmond, this is Commissioner Weddle.
Yes, sir.
And we've got to do a final reconcile on that because there's a couple of differing, and I spent probably 60 or 45 minutes in one court session kind of laying it out. And we were not $2.5 million over budget on that. And the truth, the proof in the pudding is we budgeted like $3.74 million in expenditures, and we ended up, I think, $243,000 over in that category this year. So that would tell me that's impossible. Where did that, and out of that overage that we had was a planned overage. We were building the expansion to the jail. They looked at the cameras in our existing jail that were antiquated. There was no sound. They couldn't do any recordings. It was just very antiquated. So we looked at that and said, hey, while the contractor's in there putting in security cameras for the new, go ahead and bite the bullet. It was $343,000, I think, and replace all the cameras in the existing jail. The other benefit we got was if we had left the two separate, you know, cameras, we would have had one monitor over here and one monitor over here. So it brought the whole system together and got very good monitor. But I mean, I just posed the question. We also, we had a software glitch. This is why we had to replace the auditor software, financial software last year. And I understand why there were some people that thought it was over budget, because at one time our system said it was, until we found the error when the system had crashed 2 or 3 times. And then once it righted itself, it said, oh, okay, we're all right now. And you know, that can happen in softwares. And so I will stand here and say, no, we Because if we were, we would be carrying that $2 million over somewhere, and we're not. I mean, I've got a whole file folder. If anybody, would like to sit down, and I can show them those, expenses. But I will continue to say that we were not over $2 million.
I have a question not related to that. Real estate holdings by the county. What, I didn't catch what you were selling. What properties is the county going to sell to raise revenue?
Well, we currently have listed with a local realtor is a property over on Lutterlow, where it used to be the old Coriel Memorial Hospital. And on the backside of that property is currently occupying the Head Start program run by Hill Country Community Action. And as they understood, we wanted to get rid of that property completely. We came to a reasonable agreement for them to purchase just that portion of the backside of the property. So we still have approximately 2/3 of that property available to sell. And if you would like to make an offer, we would more than entertain that.
What about 113 7th Street?
There's two properties there on the square.
There are the two buildings there. And
we're not landlords. We're giving that back on the tax roll.
We sold this property right that parking lot area. We sold that earlier this year.
The one over here?
No, right across here.
What about that one?
Next to him.
Right here, right across the street.
Behind the museum.
705 Leon?
Yeah.
That's not ours.
That is ours.
Yeah, it is.
The parking lot behind the
museum next to him.
That's where.
Right on the corner.
Oh, right. It's right across. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was there. I thought that was there.
And then the 2 acres over there by the parking lot for the annex. What about that?
There's a potential that if we sell the Lutterlow property, where we currently have our maintenance housed, is that we would then relocate them to that 2-acre property down below.
This little corner.
When
buyer,
yeah,
let's get it on the market. Let's get it on the tax roll. $400,000 for that building, 13 7th Street, is a pretty good price. There's another one. I mean, that'd take care of road and bridge. I can't see cutting their buildings. Yeah, the 2 acres. I mean, it's not that corner right here, and not the 113 7th Street.
Where do you propose to go?
Who?
Where do you propose to look into?
Juvenile probation. Whoever buys the building rents it to you. Or into the 440th, where we just built that fantastic brand new building. I mean, there's plenty of land owned by the county. I don't want you to put out your house.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a $400,000 building that would be back on the tax rolls generating property tax. And it could pay for something. I mean, I don't want you, I think that there's places that need to be. This room right here is too big.
It wasn't yesterday.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, so that's a review of the budget. Taking, I guess, kind of front to back. I mean, I don't have any planned agenda. Just, is there anything else or in that? Is there anything else you want to address?
I think we need to do this. 340.
Yeah.
I think my understanding was yesterday it was going to be left in there, and then we were going to see what the tax rate was going to do, knowing that we could cut it if we had to.
All right. I apologize then, because my understanding was when the sheriff got up.
I understand what.
So that's what I did it off of.
But I would like to know, I mean, I don't really agree with the deputies being at the schools. Now, granted, they may not be there for the school, but as we heard from the public, that's the way it's being perceived. And I think the E-Force, it would benefit the sheriff department in a whole and the county in a whole lot better than putting putting two deputies out there. What were we saying? 130 buy-in? 192 buy-in?
Yeah, 192 is what I had.
Okay. Yeah. It'll raise the taxes, so we'll do deputies and 2 million.
Yeah, well, we did gain, 40,000 by Miss Newton's, moving that over. So that'll also, we go back to the capital improvement fund, and it's not what you guys think it's going to be. We have an expense there for $50,000 for broadband technology. Do we need to expense that?
Well, it was my hope, and as we've done all this, that to be able to connect our downtown offices by fiber. That was the intent of that funding.
I know, but boy. I mean, when we got the sticker shock of, what it would cost to put our own server room and everything, we kind of that's a big undertaking. So I'm looking at that going, we did that, moved that, and then with the 40,000 that out of the records management fund, that's 90,000 right there. That's the e-force that would be offset. And then we'd be,
What's the difference in e-force cost and the QWD cost?
The e-force cost is 192. And the deputy cost, and this is an approximate, because it would be salaries, and benefits, and TT&L is what, Social Security, retirement, those things, is approximately $120,000 for those two.
That's two cars.
$120,000 more for the deputies?
$192,000 for the force and $120,000 for the deputies. So this is
Yeah. 72,000. No, that number for the deputies does not include equipment. It does not include vehicles. Yes, Ms. McGee.
I was thinking,
there when it was installed.
Do they still sell a rotary?
Is the e-force a one-time payment or is it annual?
The 192 is a one-time payment. Then there is an annual maintenance fee that goes along with that.
But that maintenance fee is less than what we're currently paying maintenance on the current software.
On the correct.
Do you know what it is?
Not off the top of my head. No, sir, I don't.
35. Yeah.
Other county, I don't know, that has been a big issue in the past.
Chief, I don't want to throw you into the bus. I just don't know the particulars of what the capability of the software is.
So, they told the simple what's called a niche, right? So, they're going to that system. Now, however, we'll be able to communicate with other guests. I'll be able to zip file the baseball TV. The district attorney and county attorney's office, where it's very accessible to them. So,
I mean, I feel like that's doing the community more of a service, honestly.
I'd like to find a way to do both.
The fees for the record keeping, that part that you discussed earlier, that we do have the fees coming in, but it's dedicated to record keeping. Mm-hmm. Does that translate over to what the sheriff's department needs?
No, sir.
No.
Okay.
And I think what everybody is here is trying to say, it's a little calmer today than it was yesterday. But I think that we even.
And I appreciate that, ma'am. I do. I mean, believe it or not,
even the two deputies and the e-force. If it's necessary for our department and it's necessary for safety, can we do that? Can we afford to do that? And how much would the increase be?
If based off of Commissioner Weddle's, I think what he's leading to is moving the $50,000 out from because we've already moved 100 out. So if we moved another 50 out from capital improvement, and then Ms. Newton is absorbing $40,000 out of salary out of the general fund. So that's a $90,000 difference. So with the cost of 192 for the software, we would have a $100,000 increase in expenditures because I mean the two new deputy positions are already programmed into this budget. So when we're saying that, where are we adjusting things? So there would be a $90,000 coming in to the general fund, but a $192,000 expenditure, which is going to be approximate 0.2 cents. It would be 0.2 of 1 penny onto the tax rate.
Not that I get a vote, but
is that a motion?
Chief, did you have? I'm sorry.
Also need to be translated out. That is something that's discussed today. That a lot of people that are saying keep the cost down, keep the cost down. There would need to be some messaging.
Yes.
In follow up to help the commission, the commissioner's court justify that need. So it seems like to me that the follow up there would need to be some communication. This is what the sheriff deputies, others would need to be available. I'm sure they will be to tell the story about why the commission court did this. I thought it was very evident yesterday whenever the sheriff said, you know, just this morning before you got out, this is what happened. Well, if they could just tell that story to people in this county, then that it seems like the burden would be on us who are here, and also if you're on social media or whatever, that this is a need and that the commissioner's court was ready to cut it. But it seemed, as we thought through it, that this is the messaging that needs to go out after today for that $192,000.
Thank you, Mr. Rudy.
We realize that this would be a complete expense, not the whole amount, but for the upkeep of that system, it needs to be automatically programmed every year. Not just one time, $192,000, but what's it going to cost next year?
In fact, in that 192, I think it's the first year coverage of, you know, everything's done in the cloud now, and in, you know, the sheriff's office, you know, we have to be, you know, probably from the Gatesville PD, you got to lock that down very tight because you can't have anybody. That's why their system is separate. That's why even like Hammer system is totally run on a separate server because you don't want anybody getting into those.
For just the software upkeep every year, but also just the maintenance. The radios have to be replaced.
Oh, yeah.
And the cameras and the systems and the cars. Like all of that costs money and it doesn't last forever. So you have to plan ahead and put that, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they're going to need to be replaced. It's not a one-time expense, but it will be a continuing expense.
So did your best guess would be to go from like 0.475 to 0.4752?
Yes.
Zero, yeah.
I mean, and it was very crude math. I mean, and I based that off
I like to break it down into, so I think, you know, $100,000 home, which the median home in Gatesville is 224. Yeah, it's 224, 318. So at a tax rate of 0.475 on a $100,000 house, that's a $47.50 increase. Yeah. For a year. You add that extra 2 cents, then it's $47.52. On a $100,000 house. Of course, you got a $200,000 house, you got a $300,000 house, you just take that, multiply it by the $47.50. So on a $300,000 house, what would be $140 extra a year based on pretty close to the proposed budget. I know that's I got to pay it too. But I'm hoping we're getting to that reasonable. I'm very happy that our reserve level will be, you know, back up. That was my biggest, that was one of my goals.
Reasonable is all we're asking for.
Yeah.
I'd also like to add real quick on the two deputies. I don't know what commissioner is working on the negotiations of all of that, but
on the what? I'm sorry.
On half the deputies between the two schools. But I do think we need to be very cautious about how y'all handle this situation because it could lead to other schools requesting help from the sheriff's department and more funds in the future. Not saying Gatesville's not stable, I'm not saying Cove is not stable. I'm just saying that I think those two deputies could end up leading to more deputies that are housed out of schools. And I don't know that in the future that that's going to be the best interest for them.
Yes, ma'am.
The bid's already done.
Ms. Moogie, your comment is very relevant. I have the same concerns. And I don't want this to sound like we're passing the buck. But at the end of the day, if this court approves adding those two new positions, and if there are agreements that are made that, you know, these deputies would have office space in outlying locations. And then there is an event that happens and the sheriff feels that event overrides the necessity to have them housed in those outlying locations. He is well within his purview to not house them there anymore. I mean, you know, that's a very kind of a extreme analogy of it, but we approve those positions. And once those positions are approved within the scope of the duties of a deputy, that really is the sheriff's ultimate responsibility.
Yeah, and this could be, I think it's, take the school out of the picture. This ultimately could be a very good model for this type of county, you know. And so maybe the next one, you know, the next, we'll call it a remote position, could be in the Turnersville, you know, the northern end, which, you know, because right now they're all located here, right in the center of this town. So anytime, if they're doing paperwork and they get a you know, bad call, then they got to, and I've been there. I've been in the lobby when I've seen two guys come running out of the office, jump in their vehicles and take off. That's when we see them speeding 100 miles an hour through the, but it would be nice. I mean, we already have them in Copper's Cove, which is good because that's, you just couldn't make a call from Gatesville to Copper's Cove in a reasonable amount of time.
But I can personally say this is a fact because I went to school at Evant, I graduated at Evant. My dad worked in Johnny as a jailer at the sheriff's department. Every time I drove that truck from Evant to Gatesville, my entire high school career, there was a sheriff, last name Buster. He was stationed. He stated he was always at Evant. That was his job. So that's what I'm kind of getting at with the extra sheriff. I feel like you guys can move some assets around. And I know that's the sheriff's job, not y'all's.
Yes.
But that may save one or two positions.
Can I ask you, I'll just try to get clarification. Are you saying the deputies need to be seen in other places besides those two areas?
There was a deputy in here.
Okay.
He was always there.
Gotcha.
You don't see him out in the county now.
You know, there was a wreck in front of our house at Pearl, and he was there within 15 minutes.
Okay.
You know, and that happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what
No, I'm just trying to get
job was like, that part of it.
We want to help the situation if this is not being resolved or they're not being seen enough in certain areas. Again, that comes to limited deputies as well. You know, you don't have the manpower or the bodies, as it said. But they're going to be spread out everywhere, especially like when they're off during the summers and things like that. We can integrate them into patrol on some of those days off as rotations to fulfill maybe F107 or Turnersville or some of these different areas. So we could make that happen for y'all. Just let us know which y'all.
Yeah, I'm just saying that might save a little bit of money in the budget, especially in the future going forward that y'all see y'all need more assets. I need to look at, the sheriff needs to look at where his deputies are in the day, like what areas.
Well, be able to track them better too with with better systems. So.
So, commissioners, in summary on that point, so in the messaging that's going out, if we're going to pay for this in the budget for 109, what does that mean for somebody that has, you mentioned, a $300,000 house? What if part of their taxes is going to go up to cover that? How many, a dollar or 50 cents a month or what?
That's actually one of the issues I had when it's not their fault. But, you know, when the whole thing came out, if you look at it, it said a 21.75% tax increase. Well, no, it's not. It was 21.75. It's an increase on the rate. You know, it's very, very confusing the way the state makes us, you know, they want to scare everybody. But it wasn't a 21.75, because if you took your, you know, $200,000 house and went, oh my gosh, you know, put 21.75% on it. Yeah, that's what a lot of people, you know, thought they were doing.
$2 a year on a $100,000 home.
Sure.
Thank you.
$2 a year.
So that's a good message to be able to take. $2
a year
on a $100,000.
We really struggle with messaging. I mean, I know I do, because, you know, we don't have an outlet. Commissioner Matthews is much better at Facebook than the rest of us.
My wife is much better at Facebook than I am.
Yeah, as a court, we really struggle. I tell you what I'd love to do, though, is get everybody's name in here today when we have budget workshops next year, which we've had a whole bunch of those prior to all of this. Believe it or not, that's probably when the public should show up.
I'm sorry.
What number did you when we're $2 in that developmental stage in workshop. This is an actual court. You know, we're not supposed to do all this engagement. I love that the judge is allowing us to do it.
Yeah.
But during those workshops,
that's what he asked.
That's just what it is. It's very free form. No decisions are made, but there's a lot of conversations, you know, during those workshops. And that, I tell you, this input that we've had this year, and this is my third budget, I think. This is the best input we've ever had.
Did you ask on the $100,000 home or medium income?
He said 300.
Sorry?
He said 300,000.
Oh, 300. Okay, sorry. I meant
But 100,000 really we do because people in their head.
That's what it is.
I don't want you to misunderstand what I was asking Commissioner Matthews about, because I had calculated off of the median, because that's what the state requires us to do. And so if this little statement that's on the agenda, if you ever look at it, it's going to be on there from here on out on every agenda. So the total cost for the transfers over that we're talking about, and if we put the e-force back in there based off of this number that you will continue to see until Mr. Carruthers tells me to change it, that total cost would be $4.48 per household based off that
on the median
house,
$4 and whatever for a $247,000 home.
And that is approximate. Yeah. Down to the, I mean, it might be $4.27, it might be $4.62, but that's really what you're talking about.
Under $5.
Yes, sir.
The entire year.
Yes, sir.
The sheriff's department gets a very efficient technology, up-to-date technology.
But that's just for the 1 year, right?
Yes.
And that's
just for the 1 year.
And the first
year. After that, it goes down. I don't remember what it
is. I believe it was like
$7,000. Yeah, that's what I said. I think you might.
The maintenance fee is every year.
35 or 37.
If I recall the contract, we were trying to lock in that, because you know what they'll do sometimes. They'll get you 28 this year, 30. You know, we tried to lock them in 3 years on that rate.
Median income, 1 year, less than $5.
Exactly.
Just for this year, this next year, and it's done.
Yes, right. Pretty good deal.
I think so.
And to clarify, some of the, like, I know y'all talked about the small directions. We're a lot slow down. And then getting into the taxes, but we're a lot of $500,000 to the state for SB 22 to offset that cost. So I don't believe we're supposed to affect the tax rate. Is that correct? Yeah.
He's talking about the
cars. It's a cost savings to the county.
Yeah.
I mean, or we can, you know, maximize and purchase some things that maybe we couldn't have purchased. That's kind of just, you know, how we use that. But yes, overall, what you're saying is when you look at the Sheriff's Department budget, it is augmented with $500,000 from the state.
Just clarify that.
Okay, so my takeaway is E-Force back in, the two transfers identified with the 40 and the 50.
Sure.
Are there any other portions of the budget that y'all want to address?
Roger.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Is now an okay time?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Bailey. Okay. So if our goal is to get anywhere near the no new revenue rate, or say 46 cents, that was kind of the outcry from yesterday, that's still about 1.5 million, three pennies cuts to get to 46 cents. If the no new revenue rate is, I believe, 44 cents, correct me if I'm wrong. We shouldn't be allowing any increase from any department above last year's amount, with ideal being less budgeted. After listening to over 8 hours yesterday and then today, I think it's pretty obvious Road and Bridge is doing part to help with the budget. Just me crunching some quick numbers. I mean, last year they had 6.21 million budgeted. For 2026, they reduced it to 5.79 million. That's a pretty significant reduction for such a crucial department. And, you know, Mr. Latham said this is definitely going to slow rebuilding of roads, but he felt like it was the smart thing to do with the current finances and the outcry of the public and trying to do as the constituents wanted. But with that said, I don't think that should be the only department that's making deep cuts. I mean, I keep hearing we're going to add this back in. I'm definitely not against E-Force. I shared some information in the Zoom comments about all the benefits of it. But, you know, when we have departments that are crucial, and the commissioners have stated many times that the one thing that they hear the most about is our roads, and that's really the department that's been willing to bend, if you will, the most. And I mean, I'm not comfortable with adopting this budget until we explore some of the, you know, avenues that citizens have brought up and different departments have brought up to make these different departments make more physically sound use of their money.
I second that.
All right. So to Ms. Dinsman's point, if the no new revenue rate, which she identified, is 43.739 cents per $100 valuation. Currently, and this is with crude math on this adjustment with the E-Force, the budget amount that we would need to cover this budget is 47.52 cents, which is a difference of 3.781 cents from what we're discussing now versus the no new revenue rate. And then I haven't done the quick calculation, but if we looked at what our current rate is of 44,824, and the 47,520, can anybody do math faster than I can? I'd welcome that. 6, 9, 14, 6, which is 2.696 cents over our current tax rate. So that's the
one of the things you guys our privilege to a few years ago, the county went into, and I think it's pretty good. We started going to step raises. So when people meet milestones of, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, they get a step raise. So all of those are also programmed in. So that's an automatic increase, in our budget. And I've heard we have to take care of our employees. And for many years, there would be just years of nothing. And so it's more on a step plan. And unfortunately, there are certain things we can't share, people's salaries. I mean, ours is transparent, but the employees, it's private. But there are step raises built in this entire budget along with that, which is a pretty substantial, amount.
Any government employee's salary is public knowledge.
With open records.
With open records request, yes.
There's many places online that have it listed.
Ms. Denisman, were you able to track those numbers that I was talking about as far as the tax rate?
Yes, sir.
Because I think that's what you were kind of alluding to. Is that about right?
Yes, sir. We're getting closer. We're getting closer, but I just think the biggest issue is that, and I know it's not necessarily something we can solve this year with where we're at with when this budget has to be approved by, but I think the expectation needs to be put out there right now that these departments need to be more physically responsible with their spending, and they need to be more transparent with their spending so that we're not sitting here in September needing to have this budget passed before October 1st.
Yes, ma'am. I believe I understand what you're trying to say.
Judge, I don't think I'm stepping on, but the judge sends a letter out to every elected official that basically states that. That's our goal. is to come in at no increase.
And we've got several departments who didn't come close to meeting that expectation.
And that's where you also have to look historically. Was that department not, given some stuff last year versus, you have to kind of, so there's historical, you heard the chief deputy, they didn't get any vehicles last year. So we have to kind of take in the historical data.
I understand, but we are spending $11 million more than what we were 5 years ago. We all are bringing in $11 million more than what we were 5 years ago. And I understand COVID, and we all feel the cost increase and changes, but salaries aren't changing. So that's a no. Y'all know what that is. So
you
don't need to get everybody else to just the rest
of
the budget.
Oh, and it also seems, again, there are people, Jennifer, Justin over here, that are willing to make sacrifices. But we need to look historically again, like you said, we need to make sure that we're not taking too much from those, we're not taking from those people year after year after year after year, but just because they're willing to do it. Because if they're willing to do it, that shows that they care and that they're doing their job properly. And they say squeaky wheel gets the grease, but that does not necessarily have need to be, because just because somebody is needing or asking for an increase doesn't mean that they absolutely need it, especially, that's the job here, is trying to, it's a balancing act. You've got to figure out where to cut from somewhere. Not everybody's going to be happy. And that's how it's that whole hard truth of it. You're not going to make everybody happy, and that's how it's just going to be. But it's, like I said yesterday, you're entrusted to make these decisions, and because you're entrusted, you've got to make the hard decisions that are going to benefit the most for the community.
Thank you.
That is a great comment. Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Howard spoke with Mr. Taylor and Mr. Matthews about this, but I want to address the other. My main issue here is not with the budget, with so-called maybe the jail or the roads or anything. It's salaries, and it's add-ons. $18,000 add-on is ridiculous. And I've already heard this a little bit. Oh, all counties do it. No, they don't. I've researched the counties in Texas. Corio County has some of the highest paid employees in the entire state of Texas because of Adams. Now, I don't blame anybody here. These add-ons may have started long before any of you got them. But just saying, well, it was that way last year, we'll continue it, is not acceptable. Look at where those add-ons started, how they've progressed, and address that. Do away with add-ons. We can still get quality people at the base or recommended or whatever salary. You don't need these tremendous add-ons. Take that money and either save us a little bit on our taxes or use it on the roads with the jail or whatever other things instead of somebody's personal new Mercedes Benz or new fancy home. So I would encourage you people, up here, the judge and the commissioner, to consider that and think about it and work on that. I know that they're in place, but that if they're in place and they're voluntary add-ons, they can be removed. Yeah. And that's the word. I sat here yesterday for a long time and listened. And all I heard from up here was add-ons increase this week. The one word I did not hear yet from anybody was the word cut. Now, we're hearing it more today, and I appreciate y'all working on this and working on this budget and cutting things. I really do appreciate it. Thank you all. But let's continue to look at some other areas where we can do better. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing on what he said. If you cut these add-ons, I guarantee you those people that get cut, they're not going to go anywhere.
Exactly.
They're going to make it. They're not going to go just because you cut. You got them. They're still going to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still going to be here. We're having to pay for those add-ons. Still.
Yes. I guarantee you there's not a single one, I agree with this gentleman, that if the salary was without them add-ons, when it come time to file and run for the next election, that they're not going to file. I'll promise you that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I agree.
All right. So at this point, I think I hope I've described the numbers to y'all. I kind of run through them. And again, this is not an exact, provided that if there's no other input from the court to reduce anything, the proposed tax rate to support the budget as we've talked about it would be approximately 47.52 cents per $100 of valuation. Now we've got to go back and recalculate the property. That piece of it, help me out. Your
valuation.
The property valuations, that piece of it. So that number might be slightly different, but I think I'm within maybe 0.1.
Very close.
What percentage does that change that if from over the point, the 5.3 to the 4.7? Well, I know the other one was 21.1 if we were at 5.3. What is it at this 4.78 or whatever it is now?
It'd be about 8.6.
How much?
8.6.
8.6. Okay. Thank you.
Close. Give or take.
Thank you, Mr. Because I was like,
We're all going, oh.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, where am I going to start doing my math over here? And it's pushing my
Yeah, Justin is the real numbers guy in this group. He's got these, you know, tax things down.
And he said he's not staying until 6 o'clock
tonight. Yeah. Yeah, because I think we summed it up the other day. Because there were some salary changes, some letters have to go out, and I believe then we have to have another hearing. It's just how it is. I think we posted all of that. So we have one last, you know, chance, but today I'm feeling much better than yesterday. Thank you.
There's a question online asking if the rate includes both E-Force and the two deputies.
Yes, that rate would include E-Force and two new deputy positions.
And how many total employees does Coryell County have?
Oh, I got that. 245. I did it yesterday. I don't know who heard me, but right now, if I do my math right, Coryell, 86,224, 245 employees. That's 2.8 employees per 1,000 residents. Harris County is at 21. Now, these are big counties. I couldn't get down to any of the smaller ones. This was some, but they're at 21.3 per 1,000. Bexar County down in San Antonio is 25 employees per 1,000 residents. And we are at 2.8 employees per 1,000 residents. So, don't get me if my math is totally right, but if we're, that's why I've put a little of this. I mean, we run a pretty lean as far as number of employees as opposed to some other things. But I know 245 is the answer. Employee total.
Have a higher crime rate too.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Yeah, that's why I live here.
And more expensive loans, also.
Yep, I lived in Harris County. I know.
We are getting a $10 million build out there on 116 though. Roger Holmes is going to build 24 units in their residential community out there. They're buying 8 acres off old Big Coke off of 116. So they're investing approximately $10 million in a 24-unit community. And if they see the need, they'll. That was just approved through City Council.
Awesome.
About, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? So there'll be a nice property tax coming there.
Yeah, there should be some good property taxes coming out for these developers selling these 10-acre tracts. Next to me, there was 100 10-acre tracts sold.
Yeah.
And people are improving those tracts, which means the valuation is going up on them as they're drilling wells, building homes, fences. But there's the that. Next, it joins me. They was 1,000 acres they cut up in 10-acre blocks,
yep.
and they've sold all 100 of those blocks, and they're all in Coryell County, and that should give us a good boost. And I think they're doing that other places too. Developers, I'm not saying I like it, but they developers cutting up. I guess it's good for the tax base, but. Maybe not anything else.
I've always said a good goal would be if we could get to the level where we could live off the new, you know, revenues raised by the new properties. That would be that's a great goal for any, I think, county government, you know, to go to.
I wonder why they can't. Let me just throw this out there. And I know it's maybe comparing apples to oranges. Hamilton County did the same thing that Coryell did yesterday. They approved their 2026 budget. They lowered their tax rate. They said at their meeting yesterday that the evaluation being upped more than offset their rate they were, and they actually lowered their tax rate. They were at where Gatesville was at 44.44 something, and they lowered it to 43. They lowered it up for the whole deal. Because they said that they added evaluation, and they've got some of those, a bunch of those tracts and 10-acre deals, and but anyway, they actually lowered theirs.
Yeah.
I commend them for it. And they've got some happy voters. I visited last night with several people from Hamilton County, and I did not find anybody that I talked to that really wasn't giving them sort of praise. I was nobody that was dissatisfied with their new, and they approved it yesterday, of course, but they were happy because their county lowered their tax rate. Don't do that often, do you?
Yeah.
Right, so is there anything else that the court wants to address as far as reductions or expenditures?
Question mark?
Yeah, as Commissioner Weddle indicated, so that you're all aware, because there were significant changes to the proposed budget based off of the hearing from yesterday, and then the continuation of that meeting into today, we did update. We've reviewed that. You've heard the review that we've had of the budget and the input that the Commissioner's Court has provided me. So based off of that, we know we still have another item to address on the agenda, but later this afternoon, I'll sit down with Mr. Wood. The four adjustments that I believe I've captured here will be incorporated into this document. Then this document will be disseminated to the Commissioner's Court, and I will post it on our website on Friday. On Saturday in the newspaper, you will see a notice for a public hearing, another public hearing on both the budget and the tax rate. And those two hearings will be conducted much like we did yesterday on September 23rd. And at that point, again, we will go through the process after the public hearing. We will go the process of either adopting a budget or choosing not to adopt a budget and work on it some more. But we are under kind of we're at the 11th hour. Given what I've heard and what I intend on putting into this amended proposed budget, unless we're responding to an outcry from the people that what they're seeing still does not meet that end state, This is pretty much what you'll be looking at. And to that end, we cannot consider, or if a budget is then voted on, we have an obligation to ratify the increase in the tax rate. That's another piece of legislation that went in a couple of years ago, Mr. Crothers, is that correct? To ratify that? About two sessions ago. So we will ratify the increase in the tax rate, and then we will take a vote on the tax rate to support that budget that we had just adopted. That's the way this will play out. Yes, Allie.
So the notice for the public hearing that the newspaper received this morning still reflected the 5.3 tax increase. Will we receive a new one to reflect the new 47.52?
No, ma'am. And the reason that is the court took a vote on the proposed tax rate. Okay, so that still is the proposed tax rate, but that tax rate, once you compare it to the amended proposed budget, you will see the differences that I've got a tax rate set here that we proposed. I've got a tax rate that supports the budget that we've discussed. And at the end of the day, we vote on a budget and then we vote on a tax rate that supports the budget. And I'm not going to make any predictions, but the court could potentially choose to vote on a tax rate greater than 47.520. I mean, and see, But that doesn't change the expenditures if they've already adopted the budget. The expenditures will be the expenditures once those are voted on and adopted by the court. Does that?
Roger, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So you had mentioned County Fire that had gotten cut a little bit more. What did it originally start at and what is it at now?
The tax rate to support that fund is still at 1.5 cents. And I'd have to do just a little bit of math. Matthew, do you remember what that? I want to say it's about 40,000 is what? It wasn't that much? Maybe 4,000?
Yeah, about that. I think it was 4,000 when it just changed from the 53 cents to the
684,983.
Ms. Tippy, give us just 1 second. I'll get that number for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's all a calculation thing of a few numbers.
688
to 693. Okay. Going up.
688 to 693.
You buy your total value.
Yeah. So check me. That's a plus five.
Yep.
Ms. Tippett, I misspoke. I thought it was a reduction. In fact, it's an actual increase of a plus 5,000 roughly.
Okay.
We'll support the firefighters fund.
Okay. So my question is, you were talking about the add-ons for the salaries and stuff like that. Why are we providing the additional when our fire departments are suffering the most, especially out in the county?
Providing the additional, I'm
well, like their vehicle allowance and anything, all those little extras, our fire departments in our county is what's suffering when it's these disasters. So that money needs to be allotted to our county fire department so they can maintain our county.
So to address vehicle allowances for elected officials and department heads, is that what you're referencing?
Not necessarily just that. I mean, there's so much that is there in those add-ons that could be allotted to the county fire, to emergency management, to be able to make sure our county is taken care of, not with just the sheriff's department. We need those two deputies. We need the E-Force. Those are a must-have for our county to continue to grow. But what about the county fire departments? How are they going to continue to grow and cover the 12,000 or 1,200 plus square miles that our county hits?
I'm writing. I'm sorry. Well, I can't say that I've got a great answer because we're still operating under a system for emergency support in the rural parts of the county based off of volunteer fire departments, which are a tremendous value to the county. We do have a statutory requirement to provide emergency support services to the rural parts of the county. It's non-negotiable. And we've been able to do that the existence of Coryell County through a volunteer program. And because our other option then is to create emergency service districts, which are individual taxes that support fire EMS to rural parts of the county. And that cost, I believe it was discussed several years before I got on the court. And it is literally tens of millions of dollars to be able to stand up a emergency service district on the east side of the county and the west side, because that's in essence what you would have to do. So to the extent that we do need to continue to support our volunteer fire departments, I don't think that is ever in question. And I believe over the past several years, we have provided additional resources to them. emergency signs that indicate, you know, in blind spots and areas where it could be, you could be coming up on a wreck or a fire on the side of the road, and those signs give you warning before you get there, so that, you know, you're not putting yourself and your vehicle in danger. Drones, radio systems,
command centers. I think the didn't we supplement the command center bus?
We bought that, yeah, I think years ago.
Yeah.
So there are things that we continue to do and will continue to do. But from just an outlay of funding, what has been presented to us is what this year is no different than what the County Fire Chiefs Association has done for at least since 2015. I don't know exactly how they managed it prior to that. But they turned in a breakdown. The court has supported a penny and a half on the tax rate. And then the fire chiefs give us a formula of how to break that out to those fire departments.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Ms. Tippett. Okay, one more time around the horn. Alibis, Mr. Taylor, anything?
Yes.
Commissioner Matthews?
I have none.
Commissioner Weddle?
Thanks again, guys. Appreciate the effort you guys put in with us.
Yes, thank y'all for being here today. I know it's long and painful, gruesome, but I do appreciate y'all input and y'all sticking it out for us. Thank y'all.
We'll let us know next year.
Oh, we will.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Budget workshops.
We're business owners, so we know how to do budgets.
And Ms. Rudy, it's good seeing you. It's been a while.
Hey, Brady, can you break some of the chicken fry sandwiches for me? I appreciate that very much. Thank you, man.
But no quick pro quo.
Yeah, yeah. Be careful there, Commissioner.
Yeah. You ever had some of her chicken fry sandwiches?
That's all. Why? She's not in the beginning.
Allie, did I answer your question? Okay, all right. I'm going to make sure that I got that covered. I hope I've been as transparent as possible, so you have an idea of what you'll see in the public document. Again, look for that on Friday online. It'll be on the homepage of our website. That number of a tax rate should be very, very close. Within hundredths of 0.47520. That should be the number that you anticipate. And again, based off of that, that would be 2.696 cents greater than our current tax rate and approximately 3.781 cents above the no new revenue rate. That's what you will see reflected. Please, very, very close to it. I'm going to get lambasted again.
That drops that 21 down to almost
8.6% is what that tax rate increase would be. All right, so based off of previous motions and the desires of the court, those notices for public hearings have gone out. There will be public hearings on August 23rd at our regularly scheduled meeting. September. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
August 23rd, long way.
I didn't. Well, I didn't say what year. Yes, September 23rd at our next regularly scheduled meeting. And with that, is there any other action that the court wishes to take under item number 6? Which previously has been tabled until August 23rd. And in accordance with the motion that was made, we have worked through amendments to the budget to be considered on that date. Is there any other action that the court wishes to take under item number 6? And again, since the since we did not execute item number six on the agenda, there is no action to be taken. Ms. Corngate, for your, there is no action to be taken on item number seven. And there is no action to be taken under item number eight. Which then brings us to item number 18 on the agenda, which is a closed meeting executive session. Pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.074, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of a public officer or employee relating to the constable for Precinct 4. Coming out of that meeting, the court might take action to consider appointment of a constable for Precinct 4 to fill an unexpired term. You're more than welcome to wait around, because that decision will be made in open court, but we do have the authority under the cited code to have those discussions and deliberations in a closed meeting. So with that, I do want to echo the sentiments of the commissioners. I think we can all agree that we appreciate the time and effort that you've spent in giving us your thoughts, your concerns, and your input as we've amended the proposed budget. So with that, we are in recess, and we will reconvene in the vault room in 10 minutes. We'll call it 14.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Ms. Dinsman. I appreciate your participation.
Sir, thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
You're welcome, Ms. Helms. Okay, I've got 4:52. We'll reconvene in open session, picking up with item number 19, which is to consider appointment of constable for Precinct 4 to fill unexpired term. Is there any action that the court wishes to take? Ms. Corngate, if you'll note, no action taken under item number 19. That concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you all.
And signing at the table, right? Is it put up there?